The Optimist. Conversations with leaders and industries shaping Europe's future. Exploring the ideas and innovations driving progress across the continent.
Welcome again to The Optimist, the Real Talk podcast with leaders who are shaping Europe's digital future. My name is Moritz Schönleber, I am the Tech Community Lead. Today our moderator Dan Rickert is joined by Christian Kirschniak. He's Managing Director and Partner at BCG, Boston Consulting Group. Together they'll talk about three themes. First, how AI is accelerating decision-making and productivity. Second, what it really takes to integrate AI into large organizations. And finally, the human element, judgment, interaction, and trust. So let's begin.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Look, I guess it might be interesting for our listeners. You know, very few of them, I would guess, are managing partners at BCG. What's the daily life like at BCG as a managing partner? What does your day look like? How much face-to-face time with humans? How much do you interact with AI? What's it mean to you?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question because there is no real answer behind that because quite now every day looks totally different. Yeah, but you know the constant is if you're in the consulting business, in the strategy consulting business, it's clear that you're meeting people on a daily basis and as much as you can and time allows and travel allows, you try to do this face to face. So that means really kind of helping our clients and in my case to understand the kind of remits of technology and AI and having the discussion and helping them to conquer these kind of complex themes on a daily basis. One thing that is constant for my life is definitely travel. So it's really the 5 days on the street or in airplanes. But it also means, you know, with the changing working environments, additionally, all these virtual meetings and trying to be really around the globe, active in a lot of connections, in a lot of discussions with our consultants, with our associates and our staff, but also in terms of having this kind of daily interaction with clients.
And look, on that note, AI has obviously brought a lot of questions into the room. It's brought a new level of complexity, I'd say, as well. In what areas has it made doing work, achieving goals in business better or easier?
It's about acceleration, I think. That's the main point. And first of all, I think it's now on everybody's desktop. If you just look at it, all the software products we have, starting with ChatGPT, everybody has it now and people are trying to use it differently. What I see is acceleration and speed in terms of how fast you can answer, how fast you can compile informations out of the mass of information that we have. And that's, I think, at the moment, the main accelerator. You know, things like reasoning, things like getting complex kind of tasks solved is also kind of big piece of the work. But this tends to be still something that only a part of the workforce is really using. And also if you look at the kind of the more specialized tasks like software development, I think there it's a little bit different ballgame because people are technology friendlier. And with that kind of attitude, I think it's also the use of this technology has a different kind of character.
Look, I'm digging into that a bit deeper. I mean, if you look at something like, you know, me as a program producer on an event, using ChatGPT to get ideas for themes or asking which speaker might be better or, you know, making these kind of instant tip of the finger decisions, that's very different to really embedding artificial intelligence into core organizational processes and I guess automating it. How do you guide this journey? Because obviously the simple integrations that we've talked about, that you can do in 5 minutes. You just install the desktop app and you can run with it. Whereas if you want to integrate artificial intelligence into procurement processes for a major company, there has so many flow-ons and, I guess, dependencies that we have to take care of. How do we do that?
In the end, it's you need to be clear in terms of what do and how much do you want to go with these kind of things. So, you know, the word AI first comes more into mind from that perspective. And, you know, the concept behind that, I'm a big fan of that, isn't thinking from the end. Yeah, in terms of how could, you know, if you imagine the most automated AI-based kind of process that you can imagine in a certain way, in the future, how far can we come along with these processes to get them AI supported? And if you take that kind of thinking on the base of the conversations you have, then there is a clear perspective where you can land, where you should land maybe in the future, but also taking then kind of parameters in there like cybersecurity, like things in terms of what do you want, how far do you want to go in terms of automation, but also what's technically feasible at a certain moment in time. Yeah, let's take this example in terms of, I think there's a lot of ambition at the moment to automate processes with bots or agents, but we know also that the agents that are currently available and that are really kind of enterprise ready, and that is a very important point, are not as capable as sometimes we think. Yeah, so it's about building a journey that starts with the kind of possibilities that you have, more or less. I think workflow is something that is quite stable as we talk, and then going further step by step. But that also means that organizations need to change themselves with the focus on the outcome in terms of how does it affect people? How does it affect the processes overall? How does it affect not only the people within the organization, but also outside the organization, suppliers, partners, and so on and so forth? And I think that needs to be somehow depicted upfront before you go these kind of ways, also to make sure that either you're really using the people that you have and the workforce that is supporting that in a way that the skills and also the kind of education that these people have is best used, and also in terms of taking people along on the journey, which I think is the most important point in terms of change management.
And I guess, look, you know, when you start talking about this whole holistic approach to AI integrations, you really understand now why it requires such a careful approach to make sure you don't actually just increase the complexity and become less efficient. Are you seeing that in the projects that you run with clients, that many clients come in, they have these micro integrations of AI that are, you know, conflicting agendas and there's no overarching strategy?
Yes, definitely. There's a couple of things. One of the things is the strategy. That is something you may debate. You know, we had a time, I think if I think back 2-3 years before we had the whole thing around generative AI, there was a big need for AI strategies in terms of how do we implement that in an organization. I'm not sure if a strategy is something that you should put only AI on AI. I would rather bring it broadly in terms of have a strategy, an enterprise strategy, an organizational strategy that includes the AI point. That's one thing of the thinking. I think that's super important that you're not just like doing an AI strategy, but you do an organizational strategy that includes the AI piece. On the other hand, it's also around driving, you know, the progress also with the capabilities that you have. And having a strategy only will not help you if you don't have, for instance, your data, organizational data, right and accessible and secure. And, you know, and that's one of the big things that's still a problem for a lot of organizations, mainly brick and mortar organizations that are not built on cloud providers and not built natively in the internet. There is still a big gap in data and what you can use and what you should use and what you bring into the AI, into the AI itself, and also manage that from a top to bottom kind of governance model that allows you really to drive the best value out of that.
It's actually fascinating. I mean, we were in Sweden, what was it, just a week and a half ago now, and at the Tech Arena, and I was lucky enough to sit in on a closed room session with Arthur Mensch, obviously from one of the top AI solution providers here in Europe. And in this session, you had the CDOs, you know, CTOs of major organizations like Volvo and SEB and Nordea, and they were talking about this exact problem that the mistakes we made in the last 10 years around digitization, around IoT and connectivity, around data governance, around architectures, they will hold you back once you start getting into AI. So how do you approach this? For many of, you know, the members of our tech community, we're talking about champion players in middle industry. We're talking about Mittelständler. We're talking about SMEs. If you're not yet where you need to be in terms of cloud migrations, how do you approach that as an approach when you're looking now at putting AI as a layer on top?
That's a very good question, you know, and I was thinking about that a lot in the last couple of weeks as well. Also kind of what I've seen in Sweden, for instance, and also seeing players like Lovable, and also now this kind of whole discussion around OpenClaw that is kind of reaching us. So if you want to build a business now in terms of an incubator, or you build it with the technology available, you can easily outpace everything that a brick and mortar company that has all the legacy to deal with. If you compare the two speeds and the two paces, you will see a big difference, because quite now, if you put anything out of the blue, it's much easier now, and you can do things that have not been imaginable a couple of years ago. On the other hand, and that's the problem that we are all facing, is if you have all the legacy ERP systems, legacy databases, legacy, you know, cloud or even on-premise kind of infrastructure that you're building your business on, missing data governance, missing data quality, missing data ownership, and so on and so forth, it will take you, even with the new technology, months and years to get to a point that you can apply all these technology that you now have available in a way that you can really kind of accelerate the business in the way that a startup can do this from a bootstrap perspective. So the question is really about focus. Where can we do what, and how do we implement AI for an organization? And the bigger an organization is, the harder it will get, because you know you have all the people around there that you need to get along with the processes. You have also the technology that people need to get accustomed to, that people need to trust, which is also a kind of big piece in the change aspect, and drive that. So I see really kind of a gap, dividing from you know what you can do now with new technology versus an brick and mortar kind of setup can achieve, because the time difference will be so hard. And to be honest, there is not a one fit all solution. I think it's really in terms of going in there, looking at the core competencies of an organization, looking at the core values of an organization, and focus on driving these kind of pieces as fast as possible to a technology state that you can apply all this technology. I'm sure you cannot do this end to end on the whole process chain of a big organization nowadays.
And, you know, it's a fascinating thing, because here we're really talking about processes, and we're talking about how we can do change management within organizations. And these change processes take time, they take investment. And, you know, some of the things that were brought up in this session, we were just referencing in Sweden, these major organizations were saying you spend inordinate amounts of money building scaffolding around inflexible systems to try to make it work so that the data can flow and you can get the information you need. And these kind of, I guess, system legacies cost extreme efficiency for these companies. Now, that's just on the process side. And then you've got this other huge element, and you've already touched upon it, which is people. And the fact that you, when you start to be an organization that's driven by AI, that's a massive culture change. And there's never going to be a transition that doesn't have some kind of resistance. There isn't going to be this transition without some kind of pain, suffering. And let's face it, people also choosing to leave, or leaving because their positions are no longer relevant. How do you approach that in terms of when you come to an organization and they need to really sit down and look at that with clear eyes and say, okay, we need to understand that this is going to be a rough journey?
It is a rough journey, but let's face it, I think it's always important to keep in mind, what do we understand in this kind of AI change that we are getting into? First of all, I think workforce is adopting quickly, and also with tools like, let's take an example, Copilot, we mentioned ChatGPT and so on and so forth, being on everybody's desktop, I think the use of AI is getting much more natural. Yeah. So people are adopting to it, and they're adopting to it fast. You know, if you just look at the adoption of AI in terms of how many people are, you know, the stories in terms of have used ChatGPT in the very first months. I think also the kind of curve in terms of usage has been so steep, even compared to some social media kind of services earlier on. This has been kind of outpaced everything. So I think the one thing is that people are accustomed, at least in the enterprise world, that AI is there and that they understand there is something there that is a minor issue from my perspective. The big question is in terms of where is value created and how does it change the workforce over the long run? Yeah, and the question in terms of also what kind of tasks do I need to do with an AI? What kind of tasks do I do as a human being? And how do I also have some quality control around that? Because one thing is, if we know, and you know, there are statistics, but I was kind of shocked over the weekend when I read that, you know, students are now using AI much more in their studies. And with that, you know, the cognition and the way of thinking and asking things and also reframing content is going down. So the qualification of us as human beings will go down, and that kind of with the usage of AI. And there the question is in terms of what do you do with the unexperienced worker towards kind of the very experienced guys who have a judgment that is still there, and how do I build a pyramid that is kind of accommodating these kind of changes in the future? And I think that's a big question, and you know, we can solve only partly, because we cannot only work in organizations with, you know, a couple of, how would I say it, old gray knowledge kind of keepers, and you know, everything else will be done by AIs. That's not the perspective we are driving into. And the solution is, I would say, there is not a one fits all solution, as always, but the solution needs to be also in terms of understanding where do we want to be, and that therefore this kind of full enterprise strategy thinking in terms of having an organizational strategy that's encompassing and including these kind of things is super, super important.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, actually, as you started talking about that, I was imagining, in a way, even now, sure, you can have automated processes over a system. Let's forget that. That'll come in as if it's within a framework and a bound, it will work. But for good decision-making at the organization level, you need information flow and you need humans interacting, because even, you know, AI can help me write a better email right now. But if you and me want to do business, we have to sit down and interact in real time and make decisions and make value judgments. Maybe there's intuition based on a whole lot of peripheral information that we draw in from our environment, but that's not going to be replaced by AI, and that's not going to be replaced by a robot. In 10 years, in 20 years, I don't know. What's your feeling on that? What is the place of AI in that, the frontier of business?
It will influence a lot of our decisions. Yeah. First of all, I think because also the human brain has a certain capacity, and it in terms of, and you feel it if you use AI, it seems like for me personally sometimes as a relief. Yeah, because it takes some burden out of your thinking. It makes things easier. You get a kind of, instead of writing things down and thinking and finding solutions and also building on the experience that you have and combining your logic, it's so much easier to ask currently an AI, and I think that will evolve dramatically as we see the models advancing so fast. So that will definitely be one of the big issues if you have then two AIs in a conversation or two discussions that are supported with AIs in the background. That will be a tough one. So the point around personal engagement, deal making, trust, and so on and so forth will become much more important in certain transactions. In other transactions, if you look at it more on a short-term basis, and also in terms of how we do maybe smaller, how would I say it, smaller business transactions, business kind of interactions, I really fear that some of the human peace will be missing on that one. Therefore, it's even more important that we define for ourselves also codex and a codex in terms of how we want to interact in this area as businesses together with our partners. And that comes back to the point in terms of having a clear kind of guidance, a kind of AI, a kind of based governance model, where we also understand how far do you want to go and how far can we go in these kind of areas.
It's interesting. You know, I was thinking about your analogy with, you know, AI obviously being the support mechanism. I can see so many examples of that, even just one in my personal life. Something bothered me on Friday in our interactions, you know, and I wrote an angry email and then I sent it to ChatGPT and said, could you take the content out of that, but get rid of all the kind of the negative energy? And it wrote just the best email out of it, which I could send off and could be taken then as a positive, you know, feedback rather than the kind of initial emotional reaction. And I guess the question is that is then for these people that are growing up in that next generation, you've talked about it already, that they grow up with ChatGPT on their shoulder. I know because I teach students at University of Amsterdam, and sometimes I feel like I'm talking to a chatbot, you know, when I get the feedback on their thesis and stuff like this. I wonder, how do we make sure that we develop them with the skills to still make those important human decisions so that when they sit down at a table with someone and engage, that they understand subtle cues, that they understand when someone's pushing forward or pulling back, and know how to be in that dance that is so important at the frontier of leadership in business?
I think it's in the end, it's really what you're talking about. We need to spend more time together. Yeah, this is why you asked me about my job in the very beginning. And, you know, for me, still kind of face-to-face time is one of the most important pieces of success in this business. And that's, I think, also something that we have through COVID and all the kind of discussions, we have a little bit taking away from our daily lives. A lot of us are not coming to offices. A lot of us are not kind of are trying to do everything virtual or most of it, and have a certain lifestyle that came out of that is unfortunately also supported with all these AI pieces, because then you can do things in the background, you can think differently, you can have these kind of, as you just said, a little bit chatbot style kind of life that is where the human interaction is missing. So my biggest kind of ask is really kind of people and students, let's start with that one. It's about on-site seminars, it's about more communication, it's less about doing thesis papers maybe in the future. It's really about, in terms of how to kind of replicate knowledge in an interaction with a human being, so we keep that skill. That's super important, because we need to have it in the future to evaluate what an AI is doing with us. If we only, you know, go back to what the models are proposing to us, I think it will be a real, real boring life, to be honest as well.
It's actually interesting, because I think right now must be a terrifying time to be a graduate, because if you think about it, I am sure in my own organization, I don't need as much support. I don't need people to research speakers' backgrounds anymore. I don't need people to take the information from another program and tell me the top 10 speakers. That was stuff I used to have interns for. You know, that's just within my small organization. I can imagine at BCG or other organizations, this training gap between I'm learning the ropes to understand the way a consultant thinks, the way a events manager thinks, the way a production manager thinks. We can't afford to let that fall by the wayside.
No, we definitely can't, you know, in terms of, that means we need different skills. We need a different ways of thinking. And in the end, it's interaction. In the end, it's, as you just said, in terms of understanding what I can do by using AI, but also have the limits in terms of discussion we're having at the moment. You know, maybe something you can also do, you can have two avatars of us doing something very similar, but I assume with the, you know, knowing you a little bit, you know me a little bit, we have some events together that we had, or some also kind of values that we share, we hopefully get something else out than if we would have two avatars. And that's something we need to consider in terms of how we drive these kind of changes as well in organizations, coming back to the point that we had earlier on. If we think about change management in terms of how to interact with each other, the way in terms of doing it is maybe a different one. And it's maybe also the time that we spend more on quality stuff, because we can outsource some of the things to AIs and have a discussion that is more focused on decision-making, on real kind of creativity and problem-solving that is going beyond these kind of things, instead of having just meetings in terms of going through Excel sheets and numbers or something like that, that we have in a lot of corporations still as a day-to-day.
You know, actually, taking this to another end, I'm thinking about that, I was imagining right now, if it were just bots interacting with each other, it would be so unbelievably transactional and dry in comparison to, for example, the creativity that's required in order for us to imagine what value in business we can do together if we try. And that's creativity, that's imagining together, that's vision, that's looking into the long term. That's one aspect. And the other aspect is that, as you mentioned at the beginning of your previous statement, those interactions that we've had are grounded in shared values. And in those shared values, we say, okay, with those shared values, we see potential together, and therefore we can see what we can build together. Now, if it was just a bunch of you have this, I have that, I trade that, you get that, I don't want to live in that world.
And I think we all have other preferences. I totally agree with you there. Yeah, but it's about the value piece becomes a very important one. And it's also in terms of where do we want to be? Where does an organization want to be? Where does a, you know, also kind of a country or whatever a system of organizations wants to be in terms of, and the value piece becomes more and more important. So it, what is it that is uniting us? What are the kind of common themes? And with that one, we can build something that is also kind of supported by technology and, you know, but not driven by technology in the end.
Okay. Now, look, we've taken an interesting journey. I mean, we've started really in the process, you know, bucket at the beginning, talking about what you need to do in terms of architectures, in terms of data governance. We talked then about improving processes and how we align as an organization on our strategy. We went into now where we've landed in values. Let's talk about now all of that in a chain. How do we reach the point where there's a return on investment? I don't just mean payback in terms of pure EBIT, but how we go away and say that was a valuable exercise and we're now a better company. How do we get there in organizations? Because from what I understand, very few know or are achieving that currently.
No, if you look at that, you know, just like their percentages vary. But if you look at all the organizations that are currently working on AI and have said that they're implementing it, we see them less. And I'm also taking all the other numbers from other organizations in there, not only the BCG numbers. We're talking about less than 10% of the organizations really have a value that they can measure out of these kind of initiatives. Yeah. That may also kind of be the perspective, because we know that there is a lot of legacy that is trying at the moment. But in the end, you need to really rethink your business end to end, and you need to really kind of think about also how I can reimagine my business in an AI-driven world. That's the first kind of thing that you need to do if you want to be successful in AI. And then you need to also understand, in terms of from that perspective, what are the investments I'm doing? Is it really worth to spend on certain tools and just give tools to the people and expect a better outcome? It's a little bit, for me, it's I compare some of these tools in terms of with a typewriter or a word processing machine from the past. You know, just like we all accelerated and everybody accelerated, so the productivity of everyone is going up, but it's not incrementally going up in terms of comparison to the other ones. So that's a super important piece. And then the question is, in terms of if I know where I want to go from that perspective, the end piece, then in terms of what are the steps I need to take? And steps I need to take is, first of all, taking the people on the journey, but also making sure that the technology is working in the way that I need it. Architecture, you mentioned, we talked about data governance and data availability. We talked about also kind of how do I integrate this whole thing in an end-to-end value chain? How much dependency do I have with you know, software vendors or software companies that are driving these kind of things? But also then having the people change in parallel, with all aspects, in terms of also understanding how organization needs to be different, in terms of how I say it, how the structure of organization needs to look like. Do I need so many middle managers? Can I kind of focus more on doing instead of undoing or whatever, or just like managing and getting these kind of things out? That's a full transformation. And I think that's what's needed now in terms of really going the full transformational path with, you know, with an eyesight that gives you also kind of quick wins without only focusing on these quick wins, because a lot of things will take longer to get really to the acceleration for legacy organizations, as we discussed already earlier.
Brilliant. It's a fantastic overview, and I think something you could almost, you know, write on the front page of a book on how to start with integrations for AI in large organizations. Before we close for these sessions, I'd actually like to ask you, you know, hearing what you've said, there's obviously a lot of change happening within the organizations in terms of the roles that people have. And what advice would you have to any of us? It could be, AI is obviously automating lots of processes. It's going to affect our jobs. How do we make sure, as employees, as managers, that we are AI ready for our future roles?
Yeah, I give you an example. You know what I did, I would say a year ago, I started my computer in the morning. And normally what I did was looking at my emails and looking at my schedule. What I'm doing since, I'm trying to force myself, but it's just like, not always, but if I can do it. Now I'm opening a prompt and ask ChatGPT first, go to my Outlook emails, give me a summary of all emails, think about, you know, just like what fits in the schedule, have a prompt for that. So I have a total different start in the day. I'm not getting processing thing by thing. I have an overview and I learn how to use it and adopt it to my lifestyle. You know, I'm also not the youngest guy in the world. So I think I've always worked in AI for the last 20 years, but it's like, it's also kind of, you need to force yourself to change your own procedures, your own kind of rituals, and then adopt to the technology and be open to it, but always try to be critical as well in terms of how far do you want to go. Summarizing emails, I think there's a no-brainer to do something like that. On the other hand, in terms of then doing research, people need to understand that they always need to put a grain of salt in there in terms of what's your own kind of, do you see it in the same way? Is it a value that you're driving through? And that helps a lot. But I think this continuous learning, even with AI, is the big, big, big change that all of us should accommodate as much as possible.
Brilliant. And I guess to close, where does this all end? What does success look like for you in 5 and 10 years? What would you like to see as a legacy of the work that you do, knowing that AI has made a difference to the world, has made organizations better? What's it look like? Where does the end point?
I'm not sure if I can talk about an end point. And to be honest, I don't want to be in this different scenarios where I'm saying this is good or bad or whatever it is. And, you know, I'm still of the a big fan of the old James Cameron movies, and you know which one I'm talking about, the Terminators of this world. That was my generation. But no, let's be more positive. Where I see, where I define success for myself is organizations that we really could help to change. Yeah, change in terms of reflecting themselves and not saying we have everything under control, helping to have a critical discussion where we change the path in terms of where they are going, in terms of how they enable people, how they implement AI in their organization. I'm not talking only on processes. I think in terms of a holistic perspective, and also have helped to even qualify people in a better way than they are doing their work today. And that's something, if I have done this for a couple of organizations, and we had the same thing when we talked about digitalization a couple of years ago, if you really see some of these organizations striving, doing things differently, getting a return out of that one, that's a very fulfilling experience.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, Christian, for being on The Optimist with us today. This is Christian Kashniak, Managing Director and Partner from BCG, and you'll be able to catch him at Tech by Handelsblatt, taking place from the 31st of May till the 2nd of June in Heilbronn. Hope to see you all there. Thanks very much for listening and have a lovely day.
Thank you, Dale. It was a pleasure.
That was Dale talking to Christian Kirschniak. As always, we'd like to close this podcast with our Tech Lounge segment, where we bring in voices and questions from the community. Questions we've gathered ourselves or that were sent to us directly. So the first one, Dale, would focus directly on AI and its strategic importance. I mean, AI is dominating every boardroom conversation right now. So my question is, at Tech in Heilbronn, what role should AI play there on stage? Do you use it as a hyperdriver, as a productivity engine, or maybe the angle of strategic sovereignty? Which one is the important one?
Wow, there's a lot in that question, but I'll give a go at unpacking it. So I think the first thing, maybe about what we do on stage, we want to really give people, open their eyes, see what's possible. So we'll be really giving a diverse program in terms of having startups come in, do little interruptive pitches to allow people to see what's possible, what new innovations are coming in. I mean, even at the practical level, we have real voice AI translation, meaning that you can listen to the conversations on stage in multiple languages with real-time audio translation. So we're using AI in an actual day-to-day conference business. I guess beyond this, we want people to go away from tech and really, I guess, have had the full smorgasbord of possible inputs and be able to go back to their business with insights that allow them to make better decisions in the way that they want to put AI into practice efficiently and logically in their businesses.
All right, Dale, my second question would be about Europe. I mean, if AI is the defining technology for this continent and of this decade, what do you think is Europe's realistic competitive advantage? And how are we talking about this in Heilbronn?
I think Europe has an obvious advantage in the industrial data space, and that's where we really need to leverage our advantage to make a difference. I don't think it's going to be about building another world-class LLM. And I don't think we need that. I think we need specific models. We need to use our industrial advantage, many, many years of legacy in building up industrial networks, big data in industry, you know, the work that we did early on in industrial IoT and connected factory. These are potential opportunities for optimization, for new business models, for making ourselves more efficient than the competition. If we can really go at this in terms of what specific data can we unlock, that will be our power.
All right, and my final question, Dale, is really closely to Tech Conference itself. When leaders will gather in Heilbronn, end of May, beginning of June, what uncomfortable AI question should they definitely ask? What do you think?
Do I really need to use AI for that? I think that's it, because I think often we're implementing AI in places where it's not necessary. We should really be thinking strategically, because AI should give you benefit, be used as a tool, improve human decision-making, but not be really trying to take over core business processes.
Thanks, Dale, for your time. All right, that's it for today. Thank you very much for joining us on The Optimist. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love your feedback on Spotify or on whichever platform you're listening to from. You can also reach us anytime at hello@tech-europe.org. See you next time and stay optimistic.
Thanks for listening to The Optimist. For more insights and updates about tech, visit us at tech-europe.org. The Optimist is produced by Tech by Handelsblatt. Music by Christian Heinemann. Stay curious.